You're listening to a podcast from 702.
The Africa Report with Crystal Audison, our correspondent on the Africa Report here on The Breakfast Show, is joining now on the line. A very good morning to you, Crystal. And I don't know if I've said Happy New Year to you, but Happy New Year to you once again.
Thank you. We said Happy New Year yesterday, but thanks.
You see where my head is at. I don't know what day of the week it is today. So, Crystal, I mean, you and I spoke yesterday about the DRC, but we also touched a little bit on Sudan. But Sudan doesn't look like it's getting any better. There were, tear gases, people burnt in a protest yesterday, and live ammunition as well.
Yes, I mean, in fact, good morning again. This has been going on for the past 2 weeks. Thousands have taken to the streets over protests, against the cost of living. This has been happening since around December 19th. And the catalyst for this was, again, the increase of the bread price in Khartoum. So it started out in the capital city and has since spread to other cities. Now, what we've seen is that more than yesterday, 22 political groups called on President al-Bashir to step down and transfer power to a sovereign council. Now, they are questioning the 29-year rule of the leader because they're saying, look, the current economic reforms that he's introduced, the current state of the economy, he is simply not the person to lead the change. And the promises that he's made to ease the burden on the poorest of the poor have not been successful. And they say this transition of government should then set a date for an election because he simply has to go. Now, of course, the country, they say, has also been isolated from the international community for so long because of al-Bashir, and a new leadership is needed to bring about democratic reform. Now, I think, Pamela, also what's at the heart of this conflict, of course, because Bashir has been ruling for the past 29 years, but Sudan had oil revenue, while they had quite a big share of the oil revenue. But when South Sudan became a country, Africa's youngest nation, they had to split the oil revenue, and that has severely impacted on the country. They've simply not been the same. And so, of course, Bashir, being the head of state, being in power for 29 years, he then, of course, deployed thousands of soldiers, and they in turn have really been quite violent, live ammunition. So, of course, the government is saying they acknowledge 19 people have been killed, but all the international human rights organizations like Amnesty International says, look, that figure is much higher. It's close to 40, and there needs to be an investigation around the conduct of the police and this use of live ammunition and absolute violence. But I think the reality is that I think Bashir is really, this is a big challenge. The protesters are not giving up. He, of course, calls it sabotage, there's other people influencing this. But I think the reality is that Sudan is dealing with a serious economic crisis, and ordinary people are saying enough is enough.
Really happy to see that Mozambique has got his head back on, where they are no longer going to be implementing that terrible law where they bar pregnant young girls from going to school. I mean, unlike Tanzania, for instance.
Yes, actually some good news from Mozambique. So since 2003, the government had placed this decree to ban pregnant schoolgirls from attending day classes. They were restricted to only go to night classes, where, according to the government at the time, said where they can't be seen. Now, of course, this was absolutely disastrous for young girls to be going to school at night, where it is not safe. And simply, you know, how are they able to just function? And they were literally treated like the pariahs of society, and just, you know, to be totally not educated. And of course, this impacts on the girl child. So human rights organizations for long had, criticized the law because they said this discriminated against the girl child and exposed them to all sorts of dangers. So, of course, now NGOs are hailing it as an absolute victory for the girl child, that they will be able to go back to school and actually become, become educated.
Yeah, well, as I said, you know, I'm really thrilled that at least one country is starting to think about this. I don't know what the update would be then in Tanzania. Do you think they're likely to look at Mozambique and be encouraged to drop their law?
Well, perhaps, but I think President Magufuli, you know, has really shown in 2018 that no criticism from international donors will influence his decision. And we do know that the World Bank, you know, they haven't put a ban on it, but the moratorium on that $300 million that's supposed to go to education, because I do think they want to see the president actually changing his mind around that issue. So we hope for the best for this year.
Crystal Lauderson, their correspondent on the Africa Report.